nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You know how important our kids are? You know how incredibly important that children's ministry, all those kids just ran out of here, and all the kids that are going to be coming in here, you know what kind of prominence they need to have in our ministry? They need to be first and foremost in what we do. We may not have a lot of them every Sunday, but let me tell you something. They have to be the first thing in our hearts every Sunday. Okay, because that generation, we need to make sure that what God has done for us and what he has shown us, that we pass it on. All right. Otherwise, it will be just like the generation here that grew up and knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. Let's not let that be our children. Okay, let's teach our children what the Lord has done in our lives. Let's make that a first and foremost in everything we do here at this church. So that's what stopped me in my tracks. I had to share it with you. All right. You know, I want to give you one more disclaimer here as everything gets going. Okay. And I got to tell you guys a couple things that you should know right up front. One, I'm not really good at pep talks. Okay. And two, I'm not really talented enough to give motivational speeches. So all I can have and all I rely upon is just this. And to be honest with you, my goal today is not that you leave here happy. My goal today is that you leave here challenged. And if maybe when you leave here, you think, man, Tim stepped on my toes, that's okay. I'll live with that. All right? But I want to tell you just straightforward. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in teaching the Word of God. And if it ruffles your feathers, well, maybe they need to be ruffled. Okay? So, having said that, you know what I really like? You know what I really enjoy? I enjoy getting invitations. You know, I enjoy opening up the mailbox and finding an invitation from someone because it tells me that, guess what? Somebody wants me to be there with them. You know, they want me to be at an anniversary or perhaps a wedding or a graduation. You know, it's just a really nice feeling to know that when somebody has an important event in life, that they want you there. I mean, that's a really cool thing. And this morning, I got one such invitation. I think, if I'm not mistaken, hopefully we did our job right, you guys got your invitations too, didn't you? Good, good. You guys got your invitations as well. All right? Open those things up. Take a moment, read through them. We had a few latecomers who didn't get theirs. Did we really? Wow. We're sharing our invitation. Good. Did you read it? Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Sounds like a good time. All right? Well, let's find out some more about it today. First, let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, again, as your children. Lord, and you've heard us lift up our voices to you. Lord, you've allowed us to give back to you. God, you've given us the time to remember what you've done for us. And now, Lord, we ask that you will open up your word to us, that your truth will just etch upon our hearts those things that will change how we live and who we are. Lord, I am reliant upon your word. I am reliant upon the power of your cross. Lord, nothing else can change the heart of man, only you. And Lord, we know that today you are completely capable. And Lord, we're expecting to be changed today. Lord, we thank you and we honor you for all things. Amen. All right, so let's find out some more about this invitation. Open up your Bibles. If you don't have one, raise your hand. I know I got two over here. Kathy, you can get them over there to them. If you need one, I got one in the yellow shirt too. All right, you didn't get left out, I promise. All right, but open up your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to verses 15 through 24. All right, so please just take a moment and open up your Bibles. Luke 14, we're going to start off in verse 15 and go all the way through verse 24. It says in verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had already been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, hey, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Probably in your Bible, towards the beginning of that little passage of Scripture, there's probably a little subtitle that says something like the parable of the great banquet, more than likely. And let's just take a moment and kind of get everybody on the same page, okay? A parable is defined as a short, simple story intended to illustrate a moral or religious lesson, all right? Essentially, it was a way of getting a big concept down to something that we can easily understand, okay? Jesus taught in parables all throughout his ministry. He used simple illustrations, things that the people would understand, to explain incredible heavenly and kingdom concepts. And no doubt that this account, the account of the great banquet, is one such parable. However, this parable is more than just a simple story. As I read it this week, I started to compose this as simply a parable. But you know, in this parable, it is meant to convey a lesson. But I firmly believe that it is also meant to give us a sneak peek, you know, like an early view of what God is preparing for his children right now. All right, it serves two purposes. What is he doing? Guys, he's preparing a great banquet for you right now. He's up in heaven working up and getting it all ready for you right now. And guess what? This morning, you got an invitation. You got an invitation to that great banquet. So, with your invitation hopefully firmly in hand, let's go back and let's revisit that passage. All right, let's go back and let's look at it. But this time, as we read through it and as we study it, let's do so with expecting hearts. Okay, let's expect to not only understand a parable that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago, but also to recognize and hopefully respond to what God is doing right now. Verses 16 and 17. Just read along with me. It says, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So the first and obvious question is, okay, well, who's throwing this big shindig? You know, who's the guy putting on the BYOB party here? You know, bring your own Bible. I'm not sure what you guys are thinking. You know, come on, guys, help me out here. Some of these folks over here need more help, but... But who's throwing the party? You know, who is this certain man? Well, guys, the certain man is none other than God. It is the true, only living God. And today, as I told you, that great God, the great I Am, is preparing that banquet for you and for me. He says, he invited many guests. Well, how many? I mean, how big of a house does God have? How many guests would God invite? Well, let me tell you something. He invited everyone. Everyone, every single person. 2 Peter 3:9 says, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Did you hear what I'm saying here? God doesn't want anyone to perish. It is not in the heart of God that anyone should spend an eternity in hell. That's not what his heart desires. He desires that all will come to his home. He desires that all will be saved. And so, an invitation was sent. You received your invitation today. It says there that the Lord sent his servant. He sent his servant to tell the world, come, for everything is now ready. Now, we've identified the certain man as God. Guess who the servant is? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, Tim, I don't really read it that way. That's okay. That's all right. I'll buy that. It could be the prophets. Okay, the servant could be someone like John the Baptist. And I might listen to that argument. But listen to what Jesus said in the midst of his ministry. Okay, at the center of his ministry, one of the focal points of what he did here on earth. Listen to his words in John 7. He said, let anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Remember, he said, let anyone who is thirsty do what? Come to me. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, whoever believes in me. That invitation that Jesus gave, that is still the same invitation that he gives today. It's still the same one. He hasn't changed it at all. If you're thirsty, come and drink. You know, today I wonder how many folks sitting in here today, how many individuals here today are content with dry and barren lives. You know, there's too many Christians walking around today who are spiritually parched. You're dying for a drink. You know, and maybe you've looked at your work and you've tried to find refreshment in your work. And guess what? It ain't there. You know, you've looked to your friends and you've said, you know, I think if I go there and I spend time with my circle of friends, I'll be refreshed. No, it doesn't happen. You might even show up here on Sunday. But guess what? Church alone, it won't do it. Because Jesus Christ said, come to me. There's only one place. Only one person in all of creation that can satisfy that thirst, that can bring refreshment to your dry and your barren life. Only one person, Jesus Christ. He said, come to me. And when you do that, you will receive the living waters that are promised to those who believe in Jesus Christ. The living waters. You won't be dry any longer. I can assure you of that. In fact, this morning, if you would, just take a moment. Let's just block out everything for a moment. All right? Just take a moment. Maybe even close your eyes for a second. Okay? And just listen. Just listen. What Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit is still saying today. Cut out everything else. Do you just hear those words? Come to me. Come to me. Come, for everything is now ready. Your invitation is in hand. He says, come, everything is ready. Picking back up in verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Okay. What? You know, what are you talking about? You know, are you telling me that you just received an invitation from the Son of God to go to the Lord Almighty's house and have a grand banquet with Him, and you're going to go look at some field? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? I mean, can somebody help me understand what this guy is thinking? He's choosing some little rinky-dink field over a banquet at the house of God. That's crazy. Who would do that? Well, maybe the kind of people who are sitting here today would do that. Maybe the kind of person who's talking to you right now would do that. Every one of us at some point in our lives, we've been guilty of choosing a possession over God. Of choosing something, whatever it is particular to you, I don't know. But we've all done it. We've all chosen something over God. Perhaps it was a home. You know, you just had to have that house. And you knew God was telling you no, but man, it's such a good deal. You had to have it. Maybe it was a college education. Sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? You know what? You choose that over God, it's wrong. Maybe it was a car or a boat or a motorcycle. Listen to me. None of those things are bad to have. I mean, they're all fine. I'd welcome you to purchase and have any of them. Okay? But none of those things are the best thing to have. Not one. None of those things compare to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one. All of those things have value. Okay? But when you compare that value to the worth of a relationship, to the worth of eternity with Jesus Christ, guess what they look like? They look like garbage. They look like absolute garbage. And I don't care how fast it is, how shiny it is, how big it is, or all the different things it can do. At the end of the day, if you chose that over God, what you chose was garbage. Amen. this man chose a field. Take a moment. Consider what you chose. Each of us is different. You know, the sad truth is, I've chosen a lot less than a field before. I've chosen a whole lot less than a field. Don't refuse God's invitation for any possession. Don't do it. Verse 19. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. All indications from what we understand, this is a businessman. Okay, 5 yoke of oxen. Now, man, you don't know much about that today. But that's a huge purchase. Okay, that's a big deal. And that's a lot more than what he would need to take care of his own fields. This is a businessman. And essentially what he is saying to this invitation is, you know what? I'm just too busy. I'm too busy to attend right now. You know, back in the 1960s, there was an article written by Time Magazine. As computers were just starting to come into the mainstream. Okay, there was an article written. And in that article, they believed that by the year 2000... computers would take over most of the workload of the American public. Okay, they believe that computers would reach a point where they would take care of almost everything. Our average work week would be like 22 hours a week. The biggest problem we would have is trying to figure out what to do with all of our free time. You know? Now, I can tell you something. I've got not one, two, but I got 3 computers at my house. And I still don't have any free time. All right? So it didn't work. Something failed somewhere in there. As a people here in America, we are a busy, busy people, aren't we? We work hard. And as such, we've developed one of the highest standards of living in the world. But let me tell you something. What came along with that is one of the highest rates of stress-related illnesses in the world as well. You know, the 40-hour work week? I can't tell you the last time I worked 40 hours. Okay, that's pretty well gone. For the average American professional, between 48 and 52 hours a week. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. And as our workload has increased more and more, we are having a greater difficulty prioritizing and choosing those things that are most important. We're struggling with it as a people. We can't quite put our finger on what's most important because we're so, so very busy. How many times, as we've struggled with that prioritizing, how many times have we essentially said, Lord, I'm just too busy to attend. I appreciate the invitation. Thanks for thinking about me. But I'm just too busy to attend. I'm just too busy to pray. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. I'm just too busy to serve. I'm just too busy to share my faith. Well, you might be saying, Tim, that's all the church stuff. Come on now, let's get real. Okay, I'm just too busy to help that neighbor in need. I'm just too busy to visit someone who's sick. I'm just too busy to speak an encouraging word, just to speak a word of encouragement into the heart of some homeless man or homeless woman at my work. I'm just too busy. You might be saying, now what does the needy and the sick and the homeless, what do they have to do with Jesus? Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. You did for me. Here's some perspective for some of us, including myself, who sometimes believe that we're just too busy. Here's some perspective for you. Did you know that according to the laws of physics, the positive and negative charges that are found within the nucleus of every atom should cause that atom to explode? It should cause every atom in the universe to explode. So guess who is busy keeping all of creation together? God. God is busy doing that. Did you know that every single day there are 490,000 babies born? 490,000 babies born every single day. Guess who has the responsibility of uniquely and perfectly shaping those babies in that womb? God. 490,000 babies each day. That's 340 babies each minute. Wow. God's a busy guy. You know there is estimated 7 billion planets on this, or 7 billion, 7 billion people on this planet. Did you know that? Do you know who has the responsibility? Do you know who's busy caring for and looking into the hearts of every single one? God. God is a busy, busy man. But guess what? Today, he's a busy man, but he made time. He made time to invite you. He made time to call you to himself. He made time for you. If you don't have time for God today, if you think that today your life is just too busy, then friend, you need to reconsider what is and what is not important in your life. And you need to do it right now. Don't leave and think you'll do it tomorrow. You better figure it out right now. You can't be too busy for God. Finally, in verse 20, it says, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Just like a guy, right? Playing the wife card here. And I can't make it. I'm sorry, man. I wish I could. I'd be there. But I can't. Now, this seems like the best excuse to me. It's family, right? I mean, it's about family. God's about family. So this is a good excuse. Let me tell you something. Just listen to me for a moment. Family obligations, if rightfully undertaken and scripturally balanced, will never keep you away from God. They won't do it. In fact, those same obligations, again, if they're correctly balanced, okay, won't even keep you away from fellowship with God's people. All right? In fact, it will drive you to God. And it will drive you to fellowship with God's people. So don't use family as an excuse. It might seem reasonable, but guess what? It's still an excuse. That's apparently what you needed to hear. And beginning in verse 21, we see God's response to these excuses that we make. It says, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. God, I'll give you a truth here you can hold on to. God is absolutely sovereign. He is in perfect control and he is constantly shaping and controlling every bit of this existence that we call creation. He's in absolute control. But you know what? Though it will break his heart, though it breaks his heart every day, he will allow you to choose something else. He will give you the option to reject his precious and costly invitation. You can make an excuse or ignore completely the invitation of God. You can choose any number of things other than God that this world has to offer. But if you decide to do that, if you decide to choose something else, do not leave this place believing that one day you will get another invitation. Don't do it. Okay? In this passage, we don't see the master run out after those guys, do we? We don't see him go and beg them to come. Instead, he was rejected. They made excuses and rejected God. And what did he do? He extended the invitation to someone else. He said, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, I didn't really talk about this a lot, but in this parable, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. In fact, he's at a home of one of the Pharisees. Okay? And contextually, the first thing that these people would have gotten is that the first invitations that God sent, he sent out to the Jewish people. They were his chosen people. He had set them apart for himself. And he invited them in. And what these Pharisees would have picked up on in a moment is that Jesus was saying, and you rejected him. You made excuses. And they did. The nation of Israel rejected Christ. They crucified him. They made every excuse you could imagine. And so, He invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Let me tell you something. I'm awfully happy that he did that. I'm very joyful that he did that. You know why? Because we today, we are the poor. We are the crippled. We are the blind. And we are the lame. In his book, The Kingdom of God is a Party, Tony Campolo tells this story about a trip he took to Hawaii, and I want to share it with you. It says, jet lag kept Tony awake late in the night, so he went for a walk on the streets of Honolulu. At 2 a.m, he found himself in a donut shop. Sitting at the counter, he overheard several prostitutes who were sharing a booth. One of the girls, whose name was Agnes, mentioned that it was her birthday. After she had left, Tony turned to the cook and the other prostitutes and said, let's throw a party for Agnes. The other girls agreed to bring decorations, and the cook said that he would bake a cake. The next night, they all gathered at the shop, and when Agnes walked in, they brought out the cake and began to sing happy birthday. Tears streamed down Agnes's face, and when it came time to cut the cake, she just stood there. Finally, she said, could I buy another cake and we eat that one? I want to take this one home and show it to my mother. With that, she took the cake and left. In the sudden silence that followed the shop after she left, Tony bowed his head and began to pray. Lord, we thank you for Agnes and for your love for her. You loved her enough to send your son to die on the cross for her. We thank you for the best present of all, the present of your own son. Amen. When he raised his head, he saw that all the prostitutes had had their heads bowed and had been praying with him as well. The cook looked at him and said, you're a preacher? When Tony admitted that he was, the cook said, what kind of church do you have? In a sudden flash of insight, Tony replied, the kind that throws parties for prostitutes and gives invitations to sinners. The master's invitation went out to the poor, to the crippled, to the blind, and to the lame. God's invitation today is extended to the teacher and to the prostitute. It's extended to the doctor and to the drug dealer. It's extended to the soldier and to the drunkard, to young and to old, to all the nations, to all people. God has sent out this invitation. In Luke 7, Jesus said this, the blind, they receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. God is not a respecter of persons. And I am very grateful for that. Instead, he looks past my appearance. He looks past however you look this morning. And instead, he gazes deep into your heart. He looks in the depths of who you are. I hope that you are as amazed as I am sometimes that God doesn't care about what I've done in my past. That he is not put off by where I did it or by how many times I failed in life. And how do I know that? Because today I received an invitation. Today you received an invitation. God is not concerned about your past right now. He'll clean that up after. Respond to the invitation today. The final verse of our passage says, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. I don't believe that those men who made all those excuses, I don't believe they were morally evil men. You know, I don't think they were just bankrupt and just wicked souls. All right. What I think is that they probably made that decision with every thought that one day they would have another chance. They probably made that excuse believing that one day I'll get another invitation. But guess what? No invitation ever came. No other invitation ever came. The message that I pray that you take home today is very simple. Do not let anything stand in the way of responding to the invitation of Jesus Christ. Don't let any possession, don't be too busy, and don't blame your family. This is an invitation to you personally. Don't let anything stand in the way. Do not go another day in life presuming that you will receive another invitation. In this passage and in our lives, there are many excuses for not responding to the gospel. There's many reasons why you might reject the truth of Jesus Christ. Some we would call lame and pathetic. And others, believe it or not, we think are pretty good. But at the end of the day, and when everything is said and done, guess what? They're still excuses. That's all they are. They're still excuses. You still said no. Today, you are invited. What will you do? You have been invited to the great banquet of our Lord Almighty. What choice will you make? Will you stand with me this morning? I wonder this morning if you will make the same excuse that you did yesterday, or the same excuse that you did last week. Will you reject the invitation today because you believe that tomorrow you'll probably get another one? I know that for some of you, the reason you hold back, the reason you constantly make excuses, the reason you don't want to commit, it's fear. It's fear about what will happen and what it will cost you. I'm not going to lie to you today. The cost is everything. It will cost you everything. But what you get is so, so very much more. So as we pray this morning, I know those of you who perhaps you are struggling with fear, perhaps you're hesitant to commit because of fear. I want, as we pray, as we bow our heads, as we close our eyes this morning, I want you to listen to the words that God spoke to his servant Joshua as Joshua faced those same kind of fears and those same uncertainties. Just close your eyes and bow your heads and just listen. He's speaking these words to you today. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. One more time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Those are not the words of Tim. Those are the words of the Lord to your heart today. Do not allow anything to keep you from responding to that invitation. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I love you that you know exactly who I am. You know all my faults. You know everything I've ever done wrong, Lord, and you've seen all my failures. And yet you still choose to give me an invitation. Lord, thank you. I thank you that I stand in a room of individuals that are all broken themselves. But Lord, that today you have called us to you, that you are drawing us close to yourself today. God, I know that in this room there are hearts that are struggling with so many things. But God, first and foremost, Father, I pray that for that person, for that man or woman who has rejected the invitation, who has decided that they don't need a relationship with you, Father, touch their heart right now. Lord, tug on their spirit right now. Lord, have your way with their souls right now. God, teach us and show us the truth that there is nothing more valuable than you. Lord, there is no possession more greater than you. God, we cannot be too busy for you. You are not too busy for us. Lord, teach our hearts that this morning. And Lord, I beg you, Lord. I beg you to talk to the heart and to the soul of that individual. Lord, and to encourage them and lead them and give them the strength to choose you. God, for the individuals this morning, for my family, my friends this morning, who perhaps fear has kept them from taking that next step. Lord, let us remember your words to Joshua, to be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, for you are with us. You are with us. God, what should we fear if you are with us? Who can conquer us if you are with us? Nothing. No one. Father, remind us of that this very moment. I ask that your Holy Spirit write that upon our hearts right now. to be strong and courageous, to choose you. We'll take a few moments this morning. I'd encourage you, if you make the decision from your chair, that's fine. You make it from the front, that's fine. But let me challenge you with this. For those who say, I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want everybody to see. Let me tell you something. Christ wasn't embarrassed when he hung on that cross. Christ, the world saw what he did for you and for me. I'd encourage you to have that same resolve. To step out and to say, Lord, I need you, and I don't care who knows it. You have friends here. You have family here that will pray with you. You have friends and family that will share your burdens. We'll laugh with you and we'll cry with you. But ultimately, we want you to lay those things down at the feet of our Father, of our God, and leave this place free. Leave this place unbound. For some of you, leave this place as a new, saved child of God. We'll take a few moments as the music plays.
Surrender all I